Good morning. Once again, I'm the last one. I got all the time I have, right? But do not worry. I only have 12 slides for my 15 minutes talk, Fred. So, good. So, we have heard a lot of talks about few sermon wealth risk for in the U.S. right now. So, I can remember a couple of years ago, it was a problem in California. Apparently, so this problem has been spreading to Arizona, to New Mexico, now to Texas. So it's widespreading. So, you know, but of course, still in the West region. Hopefully, so this problem is still confined in the West region. So the rest of you guys do not need to worry about it, okay? So, but you know what? It's going to come to the East, to the Middle South, to all those different places. So we should worry. And we should put all the resources together to fight this disease. So, of course, the best solution is, as breeders, geneticists, we know, we tell everybody, the best solution is what? Is breeding, right? Yes, Fred? Yes, so, you're nodding your heads. Very good. So, can we do it? So what I'm going to tell you today is a successful story in China. So then in the end you will agree with me that yes, we can. We can do it. Okay, so I started my cotton research a long time ago while I was in China actually when I was an undergrad in the 1970s. So now I went to the graduate school in 1982 and then stayed in the same university for a number of years and became the research leader and the director for the cotton research group. I think one year we got the ICGI meeting in that university, you know, so some of you guys went. So so in the 1990s, I started to look at this fusarium in the problem, but not the problem, the progress and you know, everything. I found out that, you know, they are very successful with, still do, successful in breeding, in production to control fusarium. But they didn't know anything about the genetics. So I started to, you know, to look at the problem and, you know, to make it one of the research objectives in our program. So we got people together to work on it, and then I have to give the credit to the very first author, Fong. So who has been in the University of Arkansas for a long time, he's still there. So who was one of my very first, you know, graduate students, you know, I co-advised. So since in the 1990s, we published a lot of papers, but I am going to focus to take some of the information from the first three papers. So I'm going to share with you some of the information I got. Okay, so perhaps, you know, we can learn something from the successful story in China. So we should not really worry about it too much. Okay, so, but you know what? China has different races than we have. They have race 7 and 8. And the 7 is widespread in China, all over all those different places, whereas race 8 is only confined in one county, in my home province. So I have never heard that it has been spread to other places. Okay. So whereas on our side, on this side of the Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean, I'm not sure. So we got the risk 1 to 4. Okay. So in fact, a few risk 1, 3, and 4, they are not unique because risk 1 can be found in Africa, risk 3 can be found in Sudan, in Israel, and in Egypt. Okay. Risk 5, you know, in Sudan, okay. Risk 6 is unique in Brazil. In fact, I remember reading some of the papers published in the U.S., perhaps California may have risk 8. So speaking of risk 8, you know what the Chinese said? They got the races from the U.S. And they have a reason to say that, because China did not grow up on the cotton until the 1890s. So then when they started to import upland cotton from the United States of America, okay, so then they have several, you know, introductions. So then they started to document the fusarium problem in production. So in the 1950s, they developed two highly resistant lines. Varieties. Chan 52-128, another one is 57-681. Both came from two susceptible American upland varieties, Delphos 531 and Delta Pan 15. So from there, you know, so they developed 13 resistant varieties in the 1960s, and then more in the 1970s, and a lot of more in the 1980s, and then up to more than 100 in the 1990s. So, but I wanted to go back to the 1980s. So, because they released the two varieties, which they thought the pedigrees were different. The one is called the CIR-12, who came from Uganda cotton, crossed with Xintai 6871. Okay, so another one is a Sanmin 1155. So when I started to work on the issue, I said, well, let's look at the pedigree of all those released varieties to see where did they come from. So my student did do that. So basically we were able to identify several major pedigrees. So for 52-128, as I said, it came from Delphos 531. If you find the trace, its pedigree, it came from Foster and Petit Gulf in the 1800. Okay. You look at the right-hand side, Chan 57-68, it came from Delta Pan 15, which was, is success, susceptible, but which was a cross between Stonefield 2B and the Delta Pan 14. Now if you look at the Stonefield 2B, it is also susceptible, but it's not only in the pedigree of Delta Pan 15, which, you know, produced the Chan 57-681, and also from it's a direct selection. It produced the Xuzhou 1818, which is susceptible. Then it was used as one of the parents to produce what? Sanmin 1155, that is resistant. And Xintai 6871, which was used as one of the parents to cross with Uganda 4 to produce the most famous upland cotton variety grown in China. So I have to go back to tell you, this Zunmin CIR-12 used to be grown in more than 20% of the cotton acreage in the 1990s in China. I'm not sure if we have any cotton variety that carrying this much market share in the U.S. Okay. So, you know, it's all, you know, with all we have those four, major pedigrees, looks like, you know, one is from Stoneville, one is from Delta Pond. So then we started to make crosses with susceptible varieties and also to make crosses between those resistant varieties. So from the segregating ratios, we were able to figure out two major resistance genes, FW1 and FW2. FW1 is contained in this TRAN52-128, okay? So, which came from Delphos 531. And then FW2 is contained in TRAN57-681 and from Delta Pan 15. So, two major resistant genes. But in fact, if you look at the literature, major resistance genes to Fusarium wilt is not unique in those Chinese resistant varieties. So here is a, you know, summary slides I put together, adapted from a review paper we published a couple of years ago in Crop Science. So there are major resistant genes in Arborium, in Herbaceum, identified in India, and in all the upland varieties identified in the U.S. by Jack Jones, by Smith, Dick, Forrest One, and major resistant gene identified Forrest Six in Brazil. Certainly, there are major resistant genes identified in China Forrest Seven. I wanted to put one note here. So you look at the okay, here, this most famous variety, CIR12. So it has pedigree. When I look at the pedigree, it has, another so-called major resistant gene identified through molecular mapping, with a name FWR in another CIR variety 35. So, that was published in 2009. So you look at its pedigree, it has this CIR12. So based on the pedigree, I suspect that this, you know, major gene mapped by markers on chromosome 17 could be the same gene in CIR12. But when identified the gene when we did not have markers. That, because that was done in the 1990s. So then you look at the Babadense Pima site, you look at Egypt as identified a major resistant gene for RIS1, and we also identified a major resistant gene for RIS3, RIS3 in Egypt, RIS1 for in the US. Certainly, for his four and for his seven in China. So, but when you look at those genes mapped on chromosomes, you can see they are on three chromosomes. Chromosome 14, chromosome 16 from Pima at 6 and at 7, and the chromosome 17 on, those three chromosomes are from the D subgenome. So we know from the major resistant genes identified in Arborium, Herbaceum, certainly we have resistant genes in the A subgenome. So the current status in China, you know, is that Fusarium wilt resistance has become one of the major breeding objectives for each and every breeding program. And also, if any varieties to be released, if there is no resistance to Fusarium wilt, the provincial governments and the state government would not approve the releases. Okay? So you know, the cotton acreage grown to those fusarium wilt resistant varieties from 40-something percent in the 1990s to more than 80% in early 2000s. Okay? So now fusarium wilt has no longer been a production problem. Okay? So you see that. So we can do it. It takes time. So what lessons can we learn from some of those successes? Number one is that, you know what? You can select resistant lines, genotypes from susceptible varieties. So Chinese actually is not the first to do that. In fact, on our side, those early fusarium wilt resistant genotypes varieties was direct selections from those old existing varieties. Okay? So Chinese just following the suit. Now, perhaps we forget about what our, you know, early breeders did. Okay? So, to prove this, so in fact, the scientists, including my group, long time ago, used some of those what? Susceptible varieties, you know, to, in the experiment, to continue to make selections for resistance in highly infected nurseries. So, in any event, any susceptible varieties can be converted into resistant varieties through five cycles of repeated selections. Okay. Alright, so number two is we can be successful in introducing genes from other species to upland cotton. Chinese did that by introducing resistant genes from Asiatic arborium to upland cotton with commercial varieties released. In my program, let's come to this side of the world. My program has also introduced the resistant genes from Barbadense and Chinese varieties to our American, to our variety, upland varieties. Okay? So soon the I'm going to share this one slide, and that's it. I'm going to shut off. So, you look at the green bars on the left, two bars on the right. So, the two bars on the right, those are the resistant checks. Those in the middle are other varieties that are supposed to be susceptible. So, those two on the left, and one is a commercial variety, you know, we released in 2015. The second one is going to be released this year. So they are equally resistant, okay, to fusarium wilt as the Pima, the most resistant ones. Okay, so I think that's the story I want to share with you. You know, so I'm going to shut off. Thank you so much for your attention. We can do it.